I decided this morning that I would speak on the subject of ungratefulness in the Bible. And when I was looking and preparing for this morning's talk, I found that while I was looking for ungratefulness, the sovereignty of God jumped out at me as well. A few things jumped out at me. It jumped out at me that, as Mark was talking about earlier on, the effectual call of God. And it jumped out at me that it's very difficult to distinguish between ungratefulness, lack of faith, and that's what we really owe God. Now, there's going to be a lot of scripture reading, because I always feel scripture is self-explanatory, and I'll only have an odd word to say here and there. But we're going to the book of Deuteronomy, and we're reading chapter 8. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee those 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, and whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. Thy clothes didn't wear out. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee. Therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, a land of olive oil and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Now this is an instruction from the Lord to the chosen people, to show gratitude to what he done. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments, and his judgments, and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who led you through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions, and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. But thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand had gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to great wealth, to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is today. Now here we have, in verse 18, the Lord pointing out that he is in total control. And the good they have received, came from his grace and mercy. Now, I have a son called Ferdo, and when he was living at home, we often had discussions on the Bible. And no matter what we were discussing, I always found that the sovereignty of God was written clear, no matter what part of the Bible we were discussing. And Ferdo used to get irritated and annoyed, and he used to say to me, "Dad, you're obsessed with the sovereignty of God." And he's right, I am. My favourite subject is the sovereignty of God and the doctrines of mercy. I think his sovereignty and his grace leaps out from his written word. And how there are those who only allow God a certain amount of sovereignty and no more can do so and read the Bible, I don't understand. But back to ungratefulness. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 9. "Hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go into possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven, a people great and tall, the children of the Anakims, whom thou knowest and whom thou hast heard say, who can stand before the children of Anak? Understand therefore this day that the Lord thy God is he which goeth out before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord had said unto thee." Now listen carefully to the next verses. "Speak not thou in thine heart after that the Lord thy God had cast them out from before thee, saying, for my righteousness the Lord brought me in to possess this land. It wasn't for their righteousness, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord doth drive them out from before thee. Not for thy righteousness or for the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go in to possess the land, but for the wickedness of those nations, the Lord thy God drove them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Now as we go on, we'll be reading a few more verses, but we'll discover that there is very little to distinguish between the chosen people and the children of Anak. Understand therefore, verse 6, "Therefore that the Lord thy God giveth thee not this good land to possess it for thy righteousness, but for thou art a stiff-necked people. Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness, from the day that thou didst depart out of the land of Egypt until he came unto this place. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord. Also in Horeb ye provoked the Lord to wrath, so that the Lord was angry with you to have destroyed you. When I was gone up into the mount to receive the tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant which the Lord made with you, then I abode in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. I neither did eat bread nor drink water. And the Lord delivered me 2 tables of stone, written with the finger of God, and on them was written according to all the words which the Lord spake with you in the mount out of the midst of the fire in the day of the assembly. And it came to pass at the end of the 40 days and 40 nights that the Lord gave me the 2 tables of stone, even the tables of the covenant. And the Lord said unto me, Arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made them a molten image. Furthermore, the Lord spoke unto me, saying, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Let me alone, that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make of thee a nation mightier and greater than they." Now the children of Anak were rebels against God, and they made and worshipped idols. And here we have a And the chosen people are without their leader, Moses, for 40 days and 40 nights. All our faith evaporates. And they rebel against God. And the unbelievable thing is that they melt down gold rings and earrings, and they make themselves an idol to worship. And this is arrogance too. You know, we can do better. We will make a God that we can influence. You know, they were no different than the children of Anak that they were going to destroy. The one difference is God's grace and mercy in having called them out. Verse 16, and I looked, and behold, ye had sinned against the Lord your God, and had made you a molten calf. Ye have turned aside quickly out of the way of the Lord, which the Lord had commanded you. Down to verse 24. Ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Now, the only reason that the people of Israel, like he chose them first, and he told them way back, it was not because they were a great or powerful people that he chose them. He chose them simply out of his own sovereign choice. You know, he chose a motley lot of people to become shining lights to the Gentiles, and from whom the Lord himself would come. We're going now to Daniel, chapter 4. And we're reading from verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all people, nations and languages that dwell in the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought towards me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Now this seems to be Nebuchadnezzar acknowledging the one true God. But it's only lip service. He doesn't acknowledge him as one true God. Because you go down to verse 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore I made a decree to bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, if I'm correct in pronouncing that right, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying. Now, he knew that Daniel was in good standing with God, that Daniel believed in the Almighty God. He had proof of this. He had proof in the fact that Daniel had interpreted the dream of the huge statue with the clay feet and so on. He had proof of it for when he had put Daniel and his companions into the fiery furnace, that they survived. But first of all, he calls the soothsayers, the magicians, the astrologers, and the Chaldeans. And when they do no good, he calls Daniel. But even then, he doesn't acknowledge Almighty God in Daniel. He says, but at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belshazzar, whatever it is, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. and before him I told the dream. So he was bringing God Almighty down to the level of the idols that they worshipped. Daniel explains the dream to him, down to verse 15. Nevertheless, leave the stump of its roots in the earth, even with a brand of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. Right? And then we go to verse 24. And this is Daniel interpreting the dream. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times will pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness and thine iniquities, by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now, here's the warning, the interpretation of the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And telling him, repent of your sins. Repent of your rebellion. Repent of your ungratefulness to the fact that God made you what you are. Verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. Now this is 12 months after he got these warnings from Daniel. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of thy kingdom by the might of my power and by the honor of my majesty? Does this not remind us of the Israelites when the Lord is saying to them, Moses saying, do not forget who provided you with food, who provided you with water out of the rock of flint? It's the same thing. He did not acknowledge God. He didn't show any gratefulness to God. Verse 32, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until they know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and give it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the king fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned to me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will, in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honour and brightness returned unto me, and my counsellors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honour the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. So, ungratefulness is associated with a lack of faith. It's associated with man's pride and man's arrogance. Now, what should we be grateful for? We should be grateful first for our salvation. If God never done anything else for us, we should be eternally grateful for the fact that we are saved from the fires of hell. We should be grateful that we wake in the morning. Grateful that when we die, our souls are safe. Grateful for the clothes we wear, the food we eat, the shelter we have. Grateful for our brothers and sisters throughout the world, but in particular in this congregation. Grateful that God, in his grace and mercy, set up our Reformed Baptist Church, which at the moment is in its infancy, but progressively maturing. We have come through tough times and knocked the edges off each other. But in God's grace, we are still here and conscious of his grace and mercy. We should be grateful for our day-to-day health. And in sickness, we should trust that God works everything out to our benefit. We will either recover or go to glory. We can't lose. There is no room for fear in the Christian's life. Because if we have too much fear, we show a lack of faith. We show a lack of trust in God. Now, is this just my opinion? No, it's not. The book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're reading from verse 4. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And over to verse 13. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit. If ye then not be able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of them. If God so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe ye, O little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye may have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If we are grateful to God for everything he has done for us and everything that he will do for us, and we have faith and trust in him, we have no worries and no cares. Amen.